everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lesbian Mommies Radio. I'm your host, Elizabeth Kaliva. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tonight I have two very, very, very special friends of mine on the show, Alyssa and Natasha. They're going to be sharing about their incredible and beautiful home birth story. They birthed with a midwife at home, and they're going to be sharing their story with us tonight. Very happy to be sharing a lesbian home birth story, as you probably have all figured out. I'm pretty crunchy. I think the natural way of doing things is generally the best way, if that's possible. And I know that home births aren't that common, so I'm really, really excited to be doing a lesbian home birth today. It's like a dream come true. So very excited and grateful for the two of them to be willing to share their story with us tonight. Before we get started, a couple of announcements on upcoming shows. Next week, we are talking all about adoption for same-sex couples. I actually pre-recorded that show already, and it's just chock full of great information. So if you are interested in adoption or want to know more about adoption, definitely check out that show. And then the following week, I have author Christy Tyner on. She wrote a book called Zach Safari, which is a story about donor-conceived children of lesbian moms. So she's on sharing about that story that was also pre-recorded, and it's a great show. She is an awesome lady, so definitely stay tuned for those two shows. You can find us online at lesbymommies.com. If you haven't already, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/lesbymommiesradio. And all of our past shows are on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and the website lesbymommies.com. If you are listening live tonight and want to call in and speak with Alyssa and Natasha, the number is 646-787-1912, 646-787-1912. Just press the number 1, and that'll let me know that you want to come on the air. All right, let me introduce Alyssa and Natasha. Alyssa and Natasha met in 2012 and right away knew they had found their person. They were married in 2013 and knew they wanted to start their journey to parenthood soon thereafter, since both loved children. Alyssa got pregnant on her third IUI attempt in January of 2014, almost exactly a year ago today, and Maddox was born in October. Alyssa works in sales for General Electric, and Natasha is studying naturopathic medicine at Bastyr University San Diego and plans to specialize in pediatrics. They enjoy traveling, good food, good coffee, going to the farmer's market, and spending time with their boys, meaning Maddox and their pup Roscoe, as well as friends and family. Alyssa and Natasha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks for being here, ladies. All right, so I basically kind of want to run through the whole story, obviously highlighting the home birth, but kind of start us off just in the beginning. So how you decided who was going to go first and how you decided who what your method of conception was. I think it's just interesting to share that information for other people that are just starting on their journey.
Yeah, definitely. This is Natasha, and you know, there's so many options out there nowadays. It's kind of fun. I know you've had other people on the show, and like, there's lots of different ways people get pregnant and make families happen, adoption, that kind of stuff. So we decided Alyssa would go first for a couple reasons. She's a couple years older than me, and also, given that I am in medical school, it just made the most sense for her to go first, since it's, you know, I'm pretty busy and things can get kind of crazy. And she has maternity leave and good stuff like that. And then for the method, we did a little bit of initial testing just for kind of general fertility stuff, and everything looked fine for her, so we decided to do IUIs and, you know, just kind of start there and see where that took us. And as we mentioned in the intro, she did get pregnant on her third attempt. So we did the first one in October, and then we did November, and then we skipped December because we took a delayed honeymoon, and then we got pregnant in January. And the first one we did, we didn't do the trigger shot. We were trying to go sort of like as natural as possible, I guess, and see if we could just time the ovulation. and Alyssa was getting acupuncture during, like, prior to her pregnancy and throughout her pregnancy. And when she went in that month, her acupuncturist was like, you know what, I don't think you guys timed it right, given the fact that she hadn't gotten her period yet. I guess it had been more than 14 days, and she was like, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, so after that, we were like, you know, we're putting so much money into this because, you know, sperm and IUIs are not cheap. We decided we might as well just go for it. And so then two more times, and we got it. And we went with San Diego Fertility Clinic, which is in Del Mar. And I guess they have a location now in Mission Valley. But I was an egg donor for a couple years, and I went through that place, and I really, really liked it, and I had a really good relationship with them, so I felt really comfortable going there, and we knew the doctor, Dr. Park, ahead of time, and so it was really great.
Yeah, we actually had Dr. Park on the show talking all about...
Oh, did you?
...lesbians getting pregnant. Yeah, she's awesome.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, she's really fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yay, awesome. Now, on that story... Now, as far as choosing anonymous over known, did you guys put any thought about that, or were you pretty much set on you want to do anonymous?
Yeah, we pretty much from the get-go knew we wanted to do anonymous. For us, it just seemed easier and just a little bit more straightforward. You know,
totally.
My wife is the contracts and the link. You know, that's just kind of
totally.
How she works. And
yeah.
I mean, I had thought before, like, well, it could be kind of fun to have like an uncle, you know, in the picture that was a donor. But it wasn't like I was tied to that. I was totally happy to do anonymous, and you know, financially, we were able to do it, and it was kind of fun. You know, you make the account, and you get to look at, you know, about the process. You get to look at all the donors and kind of pick out things that may be important to you or may not be important to you. And so it was really pretty straightforward for us.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to go that route as far as the whole legal part of it. I mean,
right.
There's definitely
yeah.
a real risk of
issues
later, custody issues.
And,
so.
And you know, one of the things that I think was actually part of the process that we didn't really anticipate ahead of time was the options of, you know, do you choose a donor that is open or do you choose a donor that's anonymous if you go the sperm bank route? And if you choose a donor that's open, which we ultimately decided to do, the donor is actually obligated to one communication with the child once they've turned 18. So if the child's interested in reaching out to you know, connect with the donor, then the donor will either get on the phone and have a conversation or send an email or meet in person, whatever they decide to do. And that was an interesting part of the decision-making process for us, because even though we wanted that separation between, you know, just kind of making it a little bit less complicated from an emotional perspective, you know, if Maddox does choose one day to reach out, then he has that opportunity, which I think is nice.
Totally.
You do have that option when you go the route of getting a sperm donor.
Yes. And then it's safe because it's 18. You don't have to worry about any of the custody issues.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
And
I
also,
when I was
an egg donor, I was that same kind of donor. So I agreed to be an open donor to any families that were interested in that. And so, you know, when it came down to that, for Alyssa and I, you know, we talked about it and we were like, yeah, this, you know, it's, that seems important to us. You know, it's not necessarily going to be someone that the Maddox and the future kids will see every day or every week, but if they do want to reach out at some point and just kind of ask any questions or find out anything that they may be wondering, we wanted them to have that opportunity.
Totally. Yeah, that's really awesome. I didn't even think about that, though, that Maddox likely will have siblings out in the world. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool, and I can hear baby Maddox right now, can't I?
Yes, you sure can. This is, you know, motherhood, right? You juggle a million things at once,
yep.
And you know, we're podcasting and we're nursing at the same time. So
love it. That's so appropriate.
Yes.
It's perfect. Okay, so you got pregnant, and there's obviously the choice of, do you want to go the traditional? And I don't even like to call the hospital route traditional route because not traditional really in the grand scheme of things, but these days it's considered traditional, or the midwife route. So you could do midwife at home, you could do midwife at a birth center. Now, so I know, you know, we all watched The Business of Being Born together, and Alyssa, or Natasha and I are both pretty crunchy, and I know that Alyssa, you're not necessarily, you know, you weren't raised wearing Birkenstocks like some of us were. So I just want to hear, like, I know it was a choice for you, so I really want to hear, like, what that decision-making process was like for you. Because most people are like you. Most people are like, heck no, give me the drug, and I don't want to feel anything, you know? So take us through that decision-making process.
I think that, frankly, I had just initially thought, well, I'll go this route because I was born in a hospital. Everybody I know was born in a hospital, and, you know, that's just kind of what you do, and it's the lowest risk option and this and that. And, you know, I had really come to that kind of preconception without really doing any research or, you know, thinking through the options or anything like that. And so when we watched that documentary, it was really, you know, thought-provoking for me, and then the fact that, you know, going the midwife route, you know, this is a route that people have been going for thousands of years. And, you know, it's an option here in this country, but it's not as prevalent as it is around the world. And, you know, but when you really dig into the benefit of it, and whether you do it at a birthing center or whether you do it at home, I mean, going the midwife route just for us made so much sense because, you know, it's a regulated, you know, it's a regulated profession. So it's not like you just have these hippy-dippy granola people that, you know, are going to come into your home and may know what they're doing, may not, and deliver your child, right? I mean, it's very – sorry about that. You know, it's very regulated, and you know, it's a field that has been around, like I said, for thousands of years, and it started making so much sense when you look into the statistics around – you know, how much intervention is needed when you go midwife route versus, you know, a hospital route. And I just started becoming more and more comfortable with it after watching that documentary, but I certainly wasn't sold on going the home route. So I think, Tosh, you want to talk about that decision, going home versus birthing center?
Sure. So we watched that together, and Elizabeth, you're right. You know, I was kind of leaning towards midwives already ahead of time. I mean, that just made sense to me. And, you know, you get a little bit into this kind of stuff and then you're just on board, right? It's pretty great. But I wasn't even necessarily sold on a home birth when we watched that film. I was kind of like, that seems a little much. It seemed like it might be a little overwhelming even for me being in the medical profession. But, you know, we watched it, and Alyssa and I were kind of talking about it, and we're like, all right, let's go check out a birthing center. And there's actually one in Hillcrest pretty close to us. And ultimately, I wanted it to be Alyssa's decision because she was having the baby. I would never force her to do anything she didn't feel comfortable with. And I was just there for support, and, you know, we were going to kind of make the decision together. So we went and checked out the birthing center in Hillcrest, and you know, the midwives were really nice that we met with. We took a tour. But it just didn't feel super comfortable to us for whatever reason. You know, it's a great place. I know a lot of people who have given birth there and really liked it. And we weren't expecting this. We were thinking, you know, we'd go and feel really great about it. But for whatever reason, it just didn't quite seem like the right fit. So we also live around the corner from UCSD, as you know, and they have a birthing center there that's part of their hospital where midwives deliver you, and, you know, there's no doctors or anything like that or interventions unless you need to be moved up to labor and delivery. So we're like, well, we'll go check out UCSD. So we went over there and did one of their meet the doctors nights. They also had a specifically meet the midwives night, but it wasn't going to be for like a couple months. So we did the meet the doctors, and we got to meet one of the midwives, and we took a tour. And, you know, I struggled with that one. I felt very much, I was like, this is a hospital. Like, I understand that they have separate places where the midwives are, and you go and you can have the birthing balls and there's the beds. And, you know, again, I know somebody who just delivered there not too long ago, and we have good friends that are going to deliver there soon. And But for me, I was like, I don't know, this doesn't feel right either. And at that time, I didn't know anybody who had delivered there personally, the people who just delivered there. It was literally just like 2 weeks ago. So I was like, God, what do we do now? You know, I mean, we were both at this point, we're sold on the midwife thing, but we were like, wow, okay, I don't know. And so I started thinking about it and I was like, all right, we're okay with midwives delivering our babies and we're okay with them delivering our baby in basically someone else's house, which is what the birth center is. It's, you know, it's just like if you went to somebody's house. And so I'm like, well, why wouldn't we be okay with somebody doing it at our house? You know, it just, I kind of went through this process of thinking and I was like, well, that doesn't really make much sense. It's not like they have anything at the birth center that they wouldn't have here. And we're even closer to the hospital here. And so, you know, I kind of went through that and I was like, all right, let me just Google this and see what I find. And I think I put in, you know, midwives in San Diego, and some popped up, and one was called San Diego Midwife, and I know you've had Jamin on the show,
yep.
and she ended up being our midwife, so her site popped up, and I checked it out, and I was like, wow, this sounds awesome. They had fantastic reviews on both on Yelp and on Facebook, and I was like, wow, this really sounds great. And so, you know, then I went to talk to Alyssa. I was like, let's just, you know, hear me out. Let's just go meet with them, see what we think, and we can go from there, you know. And she was like, all right.
Yeah, Miss Skeptical over here. I was like, I have a couple concerns. One is the mess that this is going to create in our home. Two is the noise that inevitably our neighbors are going to hear because we're in a townhome complex. And so it was funny because it was more of a, but, you know, come on, let's just go talk to them. Let's see what they have to say. You know, let's voice your concerns. And we did. And they had, you know, I mean, their points were all very valid. I mean, we're 2 blocks away from the hospital. So anything, you know, of risk that would come up, I mean, it's not, it would have taken us 5 minutes to get there, if that. And as far as the, you know, as far as the noise, I will say that my birth experience definitely does not equal the Hollywood portrayal of the screaming person in labor. So, you know, I think that we are all kind of, well, I'll speak for myself in saying that, you know, I had that vision in my mind in terms of what labor was going to be like, and it wasn't that. So, you know, and then as far as the mess, right, is they, you know, there's a ton of prep work that goes into that. And frankly, I mean, within an hour of Maddox arriving, you wouldn't even been able to tell that we had a birth in our home. So it was, but they addressed all of those concerns, which was great. And, you know, we fell in love with them right off the bat. They're great people. They've got a great vibe. You know, I was expecting to go in and see, again, the crunchy granola, you know, white hair, crystal wearing women, and these were, you know, just super great, super, you know, grounded and great vibe, great energy. We would really recommend both Jamin and Michelle because we had a great experience with them. But anyhow, Tosh, go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, that pretty much summed it up. We went up there and met with Jamin first, and I mean, right away we were sold on her. She, you know, calmed all our fears and answered our questions. And like Liz said, she's not, you know, not what you would necessarily, or I guess the stereotype I had even in my head of a midwife. You know, she's young, she's stylish, she's French, she's a fast-talking, like fast-moving, spunky woman, and was just awesome. And so we basically decided at that point that we were in, and this was the direction we were going to go, and we were pretty excited about it.
Awesome. Now, there was one thing you had shared with me before, which was, if I remember correctly, one of the things you liked as well about this option was using the home birth with a midwife was the only way you were going to be guaranteed you had the same practitioner all the way through prenatal care and into the birth.
Yeah, so that's a really good point, Elizabeth. Thanks. I forgot about that. That was a big part of our decision-making because at UCSD, which is where we probably would have ended up, I think, if for some reason the home birth didn't work out for us, or we decided that wasn't like what we wanted to do. You know, you went in for all your prenatal appointments, and they have kind of like a rotating staff, right? Their staff works different hours, and so you just see whoever's there the day that you go in. And they tell you at the orientation, you know, you can try to make sure you meet everybody, but you never know, right? If you have a busy schedule and you can only go on Tuesdays for your appointments, you may see kind of the same midwives. And I think they have, I could be wrong on this, but I think they have like 15 or they have quite a few there. And so then when you actually go in to give birth, you don't know who you're going to get. It's whoever's there, whoever's on call. And that for us was a really big factor. And I didn't necessarily think about this prior, but and I wasn't even the one that was pregnant, but once we were on that journey, it was like, wow, I really, like, this is such an intimate thing, particularly when you want to do it with, you know, as little, if any, intervention as possible, you know, with midwives, no drugs, that kind of stuff. You really want to feel comfortable with the person. At least for us, that felt really, really important. And the midwife that we met with, we did go for one appointment, a prenatal appointment at UCSD, and she was wonderful. You know, she was great, but you never know. And I was just imagining, what if you got some personality that you really didn't jive with? And I feel like that could make it really hard. You know, I do think a way to kind of help you navigate through something like that is to get a doula. So, like, if you do want to do it at a birth center, or, you know, a birth center in a hospital, and you're kind of in that situation where you don't necessarily know who your midwife will be, I think a doula could be a great way to kind of have someone there that you do know you jive with and you feel good about. Because it's also my impression that at the birth centers, the midwife's not necessarily with you all the time, right? Like, it's kind of like a doctor situation, in the sense that they're moving around because they'll have often more than one woman in labor. And so, you know, they might be checking on somebody else. And, you know, so it is nice to have a doula there just to make sure you always have someone with you. And then that way, you know, the personality conflict won't be an issue.
That's a great point.
I will say it was huge, E, like that trust factor. You know, the minute the men got here, it was like, you know, I just felt comfortable. I felt comfortable in her. I felt confident that she knew my history, that she knew me as a personality, that she knew, you know, kind of how I was going to be motivated. And, you know, she had the whole backstory on us and who we were and what we wanted out of our birth. You know, we didn't even have to write down a birth plan, right? We asked them that in one of our appointments of, you know, do we need to do this? Everybody talks about a birth plan. Do we need to write one? You know, and they said, no, you know, we're creating this birth plan together over the course of the, you know, the 7 months that you're with them as a care provider. And, you know, that sense of security and familiarity and trust was huge for me in the labor process. And in retrospect, I mean, it was part of the decision-making criteria of, you know, we'd have this person consistent throughout the prenatal care, but in retrospect, I mean, that was huge.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. If you're listening live, you want to call in and ask some questions of these ladies, definitely do. The number is 646-787-1912. Okay, so yeah, you've decided you're going to do this at home. You're going to do it without drugs. And so the natural thing, I think, to think of is like, oh, my God, that might hurt a lot. So did you think about, or what did you do as far as planning, whether it was hypnobirthing or Lamaze or whatever the options are? Did you guys do any of that, and how did that process go for you as far as preparing for it?
Yeah, we actually kind of agonized over it, to tell you the truth. There's so many options out there, you know, as far as classes go, and we're both, you know, we both like to go in with our eyes wide open and as much information as possible and that sort of thing. So we debated birthing from within, we debated hypnobirthing, the Bradley method. We ended up taking a class. We ended up taking Birthing from Within. But, you know, honestly, I think for the two of us, the biggest value we got was out of the research that we did through, you know, recommended books or, you know, just online reading or talking to people that had similar experiences of birthing, even birthing at home and that sort of thing. I don't know. We didn't really vibe with the class. And I know that a ton of people have gotten a lot out of it. I think, you know, my recommendation would be the preparation is great, right? Particularly if you're a person that is going to go into the process thinking, wow, you know, this may hurt a lot, and, you know, what can I do to prep myself and that sort of thing. You know, certainly know yourself, know how you're going to best, you know, deal with that as far as education, and definitely research kind of what are the methods all about, what kind of information do you get through the classes, and what's going to resonate best with you, because it just didn't resonate with us very well, and the, you know, the research that we did kind of offline on our own, I think, was the most helpful through the process. So, you know, we were sitting here staring at, you know, quite a task in front of us, thinking, you know, how can we best prepare for this? I don't know. I don't know what you think, Tash, but the class really didn't do it for me as much as having those conversations and doing that research through books and conversations and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Obviously, we've kind of debriefed about the class, and we're pretty much on the same page. We didn't necessarily get that much out of it, but, you know, I think, as Alyssa said, there's different kind of undertones to all these classes, and you just kind of have to figure out what vibes for you. And I know for us, our midwives were helpful. You know, they gave us some tips, and, you know, we picked up a couple of tips from the class and talking to different people. And, I mean, I really think that some of the biggest points are, you know, how are you going to cope if you're the person giving birth, and if you're the partner, how are you going to help them cope, right, with the pain? And, you know, sometimes labor can take a really long time, and you can be in, you know, pre-labor for days. And so just really coming up with as many different tools as possible, because you never know in the moment, unless you've done it before. And even then, I've heard sometimes, you know, each birth is different. But if you haven't done it before, you don't know exactly what you're going to want or what you're going to need or how you're going to feel. So I literally just compiled like a list in my phone, you know, whether it was things I heard in the class or talking to people or reading books about, you know, different things that can help. Kind of help her through the pain, you know, distraction or bouncing on the ball or, you know, ice chips, all these different things. And I would just sort of read through them on my own, and just so they were fresh. And, you know, when it came down to it, I never once looked at my phone, but I sort of just had in my mind different ideas to try. And another thing that was, you know, really helpful, our midwives kind of prepped us, like, you know, as soon as you start to feel contractions, you know, rest as much as possible, eat food, you know, so they prepped us too, and kind of things to do, because it's really just about getting through the labor, you know, because it can take a long time, as I mentioned, and just the pain. And so another thing I did as a partner, you know, I'm, anybody who may be listening that knows me, I'm pretty sensitive, and so it was really important to me to get myself in a space where I knew that I wasn't going to take anything personally, because when we read stuff and in the classes, you know, people talked about you could try things and they're going to, like, push you away. And they're going to say no, and they might yell at you, and they might, you know, like, you never know, right? And so I didn't want that to be something where I got in a space of being like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, I'm doing this wrong, or my feelings were hurt because I wasn't able to help her, you know, because obviously I can't really take the pain away. She's got to get through this. And so that was kind of an important journey for me to get through. And I feel like, you know, I was able to, and I think it went really well. I didn't take anything personally during the birth, and it was a great experience. So, but that's something I think for people to think about too.
Yeah, nice work thinking about all of that ahead of time and preparing yourself. That's a really big deal and very thoughtful. Okay, well, the moment we've all been waiting for. Like, let's hear it. Take us through the birth story.
Maddox may be contributing, as you can hear in the background,
but
he was part of it.
Excited, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, believe it or not, I was 38 weeks, 5 days, and you would think that you would expect it any minute, but I'll tell you, when it hit me, I wasn't expecting it. I was sitting on the couch watching TV, Natasha was at a soccer game, and I had my first legit contraction, and when I mean legit contraction, I mean it wasn't a Braxton Hicks, it was the real deal. And so I texted her, and I was like, I think I just had my first real contraction. She was at her soccer game and was contemplating playing a second, and got the text and came right home. And like she said, our midwives had kind of prepped us, as soon as you start feeling yourself going into labor, you know, eat some food and go to sleep. And so we did that, and I basically labored in and out of sleep, as crazy as that sounds, and from like 9 until midnight. And it was, you know, I have no idea how many contractions I had at that point, but it was manageable through kind of dozing in and out of sleep. And then by midnight, the train started coming through the station. I had to get up. I had to walk around. I actually came downstairs and turned on Project Runway and got my birthing ball out. And I basically switched from the couch to the birthing ball and back for a few hours while Natasha slept, and keeping track of my contractions. And, you know, they were like 5-7 minutes apart at this point, and probably like anywhere from 30 to 45 seconds. So, you know, I will never watch Project Runway in the same vein again, because it got me through that early part of labor. And then Natasha came down around 3:30 or so, and I just kind of looked at her and I said, well, we're having baby today. And so she went into like major logistics mode, because we had our dog Roscoe that we needed to get taken care of, and we had not an ounce of food in the house, of course, because we go to the grocery store on Saturdays, and this was Friday, and, you know, so we luckily have really great friends that we could call and wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to say, hey, we need some help. So we had people running in a million different directions trying to get some stuff done for us, which was fantastic. And I don't know, Tosh, you want to kind of pick it up from there?
Yeah. Sad boy. So I just want to add, it's funny, kind of like Alyssa mentioned in the beginning, you know this is happening anytime. And yet, at the same time, we were so unprepared. I, for some reason, in all the planning in my head and the thinking about this that I did, I guess I never thought she'd go into labor in the middle of the night, and it would move so quickly that, like, I wouldn't be able to go get stuff we might need. And so, which is funny, because, you know, the night's pretty long, right? Like, a lot can happen. But, like she said, we didn't have any groceries, really. I mean, we had a little bit of stuff. But, you know, and the first thing your midwives tell you to do is eat. And I'm like, well, freaking heck, I don't have anything for her to eat. So I, like, scrounged up, like, the 2 butt pieces of gluten-free bread and, like, toasted them for her and, with peanut butter and, you know, gave her that. Because also, you know, when you're, I mean, again, I haven't been in labor yet, but I can just tell through experiencing Alyssa's that, you know, it's not like you can just eat anything. Like, you're not going to want to eat, like,
right,
you know, broccoli or, you know, like, I mean, it's got to be something that's going to go down easily, that you might not care too much if it comes up later, that kind of a thing. So in retrospect, I think I would have, you know, when you get around that 36-week mark, I'd probably buy snacks that I knew would be tasty, like crackers or even like, you know, organic fruit snacks, stuff that's going to be really easy to eat, and I would hide it in the house. Because the problem is, anything I would buy, we would just eat, because it's like, oh, there's crackers. You know, we don't usually have crackers. Like, let's eat some crackers. And so we didn't have anything. So I would definitely next time buy it ahead of time and, like, stash it away in the closet or something so that it was ready to go when the time came. So I had her eat some toast. And then, you know, I started timing her contractions. There's those apps on the phone. And I was kind of debating. I was like, do I go to the grocery store? Because our midwives had also asked us to have just, like, sandwich stuff on hand just in case it was a long labor and they were there, you know, 24 hours or something like that. And I was like, all right, well, you know, should I run out? Because I think the Vons by us is 24 hours. And I was like, all right, you know, I could go run there and come back, but I really didn't feel safe leaving her. Like, I did not want to leave her. Like, she was fine, but I just, it didn't feel right to leave her at that point. So, you know, so it's probably like 4 o'clock in the morning at this point, and she's steadily moving along, and, you know, she's dealing with her contractions really well. Each time she would get one, she would just go sit on her ball and kind of work through it. And I was like, let's wait it out a little bit. And I think around 5 a.m., I called our good friends Megan and Lisa, who were our backup for Roscoe. And I knew that they got up early in the morning. And I think I actually probably texted them first. And you know, I was like, hey, if you guys are up, like, you know, give me a call. I could use a favor, whatever. I didn't want to, like, spook them or anything like that. But they finally got back to me, and, you know, I was like, okay, she's in labor, and, would you mind coming to get Roscoe? And also, hey, do you mind going to the grocery store on your way? And so they were like, no problem. They're like, we'll probably, you know, they had to get ready for work and whatnot and go to the store. And so they're like, we'll aim to be there around 7 or so. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So then, you know, I mean, time for me passed pretty quickly. Alyssa always, gives me a stink face when I say that. But, you know, by this time, we'd moved upstairs, and we did have a big blow-up pool that we had blown up, but obviously we didn't have the water in it already, because just in case you wanted to have the option of laboring in the pool or even delivering in the pool, we had that option. And when we came upstairs, you know, it didn't even cross my mind, and I don't think it crossed Alyssa's mind either to even fill it up, but she did get in the tub, I think on two separate occasions, and just kind of ran the water and sat in there a little bit, but she would have to get up on her knees and sort of push against the wall when she actually had a contraction. She didn't like the feeling of sitting on anything except for the ball, so sitting on the tub did not feel good. So, you know, she was in and out of that, and again, she had her ball, and I'm basically at this time just making sure she drank water. Straws were like the best thing ever. I just stuck a straw in a cup, and it was every time like she had a break, I'd hand it to her and she'd take a sip. And you know, she was still getting on the ball during her contractions, and they were definitely getting more intense. Liz, you can interrupt anytime too if you want to add anything, but they were getting more intense through this time, and then probably around 5:30 we were like, okay, maybe we should call the midwives. Now, you know, Liz and I were pretty I don't know. I definitely like to follow the rules, and I sort of take things, what people tell me, like, pretty literally. And so our midwives had really impressioned on us that not to call them too early, you know, because not in a bad way, not that they didn't want to come, but just, you know, your first time in labor, you have one contraction, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm going to labor. Come. And it's like, well, maybe the baby's born, like, 4 days later. You never know, right? And so they're like, you know, obviously at any point, if you need us to come, they were very specific. They're like, just tell us and we will come. But they encouraged us to try to not to wake them up in the middle of the night because, you know, they do have other births. This is their job, right? So if they're always being woken up for false labor in the middle of the night, that's going to be hard on them and their families. So, you know, we're sitting there like, okay, we shouldn't call them. It's too early, you know. But, I mean, she was definitely progressing, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to wait it out a little bit more. So when 5:30 rolls around, I'm like, okay, in my book, this is morning. Like, I get up at this time for my normal day. Like, it is now morning. It is no longer the middle of the night. I think we need to call them just to give them the heads up, you know, because they also are in Encinitas. Jamin's in Encinitas. Well, I guess she's in Cardiff, and then Lachelle's in San Marcos. So they live, you know, a decent drive away. So I call Jamin, and she was absolutely asleep. And, you know, she's like, okay. And she kind of, I give her the briefing. You know, to be quite honest, I don't remember. I think they were probably, like 40, her contractions were probably 45 seconds long at this point, and maybe 3 to 5 minutes apart or so. And so I give her a call just to give her a heads up, and she's like, okay. And she's like, you know, I'll start to kind of gather things, and I'll get in touch with Lachelle, and they had another sort of midwife in training person that they were going to get in touch with. And there, she's like, you know, just keep us posted. And I was like, okay. So then, you know, the next hour.
Just as a side note is again, you know, since this is around home birth, things that you have to think about are traffic, right? So this is a Friday morning, and it's, you know, 5:30, and Natasha and I are literally, you know, as we're halfway through this birthing process, thinking and talking to ourselves about, okay, if they're going to get here, then what time does traffic start? And do we need to call them before traffic starts? And, you know, how do we play that into the entire equation? And so, you know, I mean, just things you think about when you have a home birth and you're trying to get your care provider to your house versus, you know, getting to a hospital. But anyway, keep going, Tash.
Yeah. So, again, for the next, you know, hour or so, they definitely, her contractions were progressing. I encourage anybody who has any kind of a birth to write it down afterwards, because it's amazing how quickly you forget. So, like, I can't remember exactly. I think probably we were getting to them being, like, a minute long and more on, along the, like, 3 to 4 minutes apart kind of area, I think, by this point. And they were definitely getting more intense. So, you know, she was visibly in more pain, but she was still dealing with it totally like a rock star. And, you know, in between her contractions, I'd sometimes offer, like, I would just sort of put my hand on her shoulder, like, do you want me to rub your shoulders? And she would either, you know, not push it off or push it off. And so if she pushed it off, obviously I didn't rub her shoulders. If she didn't push it off, I might rub her shoulders a little bit, because she was definitely tensing her upper body during, I could see it during the contractions, you know, and I would still hand her the water and, you know, maybe turn the fan on or off. Just, I was actually doing very minor things. Like, I was really just letting her get in her rhythm and trying to mostly stay out of her way and just, you know, make her as comfortable as possible sort of in between. And so then about, I think it was around 7:15, Alyssa had a contraction where, so, you know, our great friends came and left. They were awesome. They came and got Roscoe. They dropped off our groceries. And so we, you know, we felt more good about, more better about our situation in terms of having some food. We got some orange juice and, you know, some stuff in case she did want to eat later on. And then she has this contraction where it's like, whoa, I could literally see her body push or like bear down. And I could definitely tell it was a much stronger contraction. And so at that point we were like, I think we should call them again, call the midwives and sort of just check in. And so I called Jamin back and she's like, all right, let me talk to Alyssa, obviously in between, you know, when she was not in a contraction. And so I handed over the phone and she kind of talked to her and, you know, to listen to the tone of her voice, you know, can she talk to me, sort of how is she? It's one way they kind of judge where you are in your progression. And I think she even listened through a contraction. And then she's like, okay, I think you're getting this urge to push because your water hasn't broken yet and it's pushing down on the cervix. So we need to relieve the pressure or get your water to break, one of the two. So she basically told her to lie down on the bed on her side. So let's say, like, lie down on your left side and bring your right knee up towards basically your shoulder during the contraction. And that will, basically she's like, that'll either slow things down and kind of give you some relief, or if it doesn't, then, you know, we're really charging full steam ahead at that point. And so we hung up with her and we went ahead and did that on the next contraction, and Alyssa was not happy. Like, that was definitely made things way more intense. And again, me being the following the rules type of person, I was, you know, I was watching and she was not pulling her leg up. And so I was like, you know, I put my hand on her leg. I was like, do you want me to help you pull this up? And she was like, no, get off of me. Like, it was really, really intense for her lying down, much more so than sitting on the ball. And so I called Jamin back to report and she's like, okay, you know, this is happening. I guess if when you lie down and kind of take the pressure off, if that doesn't slow things down, like, you're really in, you know, full force labor. Because, again, we hadn't done this before. So, right. You know, I saw a friend give birth in the hospital, but it was a different experience. And, you know, we didn't really know. You know, you hear all these stories of labors taking 24, 36, 48 hours. And so we're like, oh, my goodness, where are we in this process? So at that point, Jamin was like, okay, like, I'm going to get things together and we're going to get down there as soon as we can. It was probably like 7, I think it was around 7:45 at this point. And so she goes, you know, off to get all her stuff packed up. And we're here kind of working through it. She tells Alyssa to stay on the bed because they're trying to get that her water bag to break. And I don't remember how many contractions it was on the bed. She was definitely in a lot more pain. And looking back, we think this was her transition. Like, this was definitely, like, an intense part up to her water breaking and after. You know, I could see a change in her demeanor. I mean, she was, you know, she was a rock star, but I could just sense, like, things were moving ahead. So after a few contractions, she basically got up in between each contraction and, like, went pee. And so at one point she gets up and I guess she thought her water had broken, but it hadn't. And then the next one, she's like, okay, my water definitely broke. So that was good. So that relieved a little bit of the pressure, but it didn't slow, again, it didn't, like, slow down the labor at all. I guess sometimes after that can happen, you know, things can ease off a little bit, but that didn't happen. We were still, she was still very much in active labor. And so that continued, you know, and then it was, like, probably 8:15, and we were both kind of like, oh, my God, where are they? Like, she was like, where are they? Call them again. And I was like, oh, my God, where are they? Like, when are they going to be here? Because it was starting to get to the point where I was, like, a little bit nervous. Like, I, in my, I guess, dazed ignorance, I thought for some reason that her contractions would have to get, for some reason I thought, like, your contractions continue to get closer and closer together until, like, you don't have a break, and that's when you have to push, which actually isn't accurate. And I knew that. I think I was sort of tricking myself to not, like, totally freak out. But so I kept thinking, well, okay, her, you know, she still has about 2 minutes or 2.5 minutes between contractions, so we're okay still. But I was like, they need to get here because I'm a little bit out of my comfort zone in terms of, like, what to do for Alyssa. And so I call, you know, I call Jamin back, and she's like, I'm on the freeway, I'm driving 85, like, I will be there as soon as I can. And I'm like, okay. And then I, you know, I call her back, I think, you know, 10 minutes later, and I'm like, where are you? And she's like, I'm, you know, I'm driving as fast as I can, there's no traffic, and, you know, Alyssa and I joke, we'll never think about the Mormon temple in La Jolla the same way again, because she's like, I'm at the Mormon temple. And so I literally, and you know, how many times have you driven south on the 5, right? But I literally put in La Jolla Village Drive on my phone and, like, MapQuested, like, how long is it going to take to get here? Even though, you know, it's like roughly 15 minutes, right? But I put it in, I, like, needed to see it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, Alyssa's like, you know, where is she? And I actually told her a little bit further south because I was trying to, you know, keep her morale high. You know, and at this point, she's, you know, she's definitely working really hard. She's doing a great job. And she afterwards told me, she's like, I could feel him descending. And that was the only part of the labor where she really had back labor. So I was pushing on her back. And so she was lying on the bed facing away from me. And I was pushing on her lower back because she was having a lot of pain there during the contractions. And I could feel, it was really nuts. I could feel her muscles and, you know, I guess her uterus and her back muscles, like, contract very distinctly. So it was easy to feel where to push because it was so, it stuck out so much under my hands. And then, you know, in between I was giving her water, little sips, and, you know, just trying to make her do anything I could to just kind of help her a little bit. But she really, during that time, didn't get a lot of downtime during the contraction. So even though the contraction was over, you could tell she was still working hard during them, or I'm sorry, in between them. And it was a really good thing, I think, at that moment that she was facing away from me because I was starting to get, like, pretty nervous. And I think she would have seen it on my face and just seen that I was, like, a little bit outside of my element. And so I'm glad that we weren't looking at each other. But and then, so that was, you know, 8:30. And then our complex, we live in a gated complex, as you know. And not only do you have to have a parking pass on weekdays, but you also, you know, need to get buzzed into the complex. So I get the text message from, or I guess Jamin called that she was there, and they do a house visit. So they come to your house and they check it out so they know what they're getting themselves into. So she knew that she needed the pass and that kind of stuff. So I'm like, all right, Liz, are you good? She's like, I'm good. So I run downstairs. I run out there, and Jamin's, you know, getting her stuff out of her car. I throw the pass in her car, and I pick up one of her bags, and she picks up the other. And at that point, you know, again, I feel like it's, you know, things are progressing quickly, but I didn't have the greatest reference points. So, you know, I pick up the bag and I look at her and she starts running down the sidewalk. And I'm like, oh, we're running. Okay. So, you know, we're running down the sidewalk towards our place with her bags. And, you know, we get inside, we run upstairs and she, you know, throws her stuff down. She's like, okay, where are your supplies? Because for a home birth, you have to get a lot of supplies, you know, like chucks and alcohol and just tons of stuff, scissors and all bowls and all kinds of stuff. And not like the scissors you cut the umbilical cord with or anything, but just all these supplies. And so she jumps on the bed and she kind of you know, is like, okay, I'm here, talk to me. And I'm running around getting the stuff. I'm getting the supplies out. I'm getting, like, olive oil out and just all this stuff. And she looks at me and she's like, is the air conditioning on? Because we had all the windows shut because, you know, obviously we didn't want, like, the whole complex to know that Alyssa was in labor, although I'll say she was actually quite quiet. Anyways, so she's, and I'm like, yeah, it's on. And I thought she was going to say, turn it up. Like, it's going to be too hot in here for her. And she was like, okay, you need to turn it off. Baby is coming and it's too cold in here. And I was like, oh crap, baby's coming. All right.
I will say that, like, this moment, again, hindsight's 2020, right? And, like, this whole, like, rigmarole of where are they and she's driving 85 down the freeway and all of this is, I mean, we brought that upon ourselves, frankly, because, you know, I mean, they tell you to labor as long as you feel comfortable at home by yourself, and just the personalities, Natasha's personality, my personality combined, we're like, you know, we can do this. We're fine. We probably should have called and had them come half an hour earlier, because the minute that Jimin got there, she jumped on the bed, and she was amazing. She focused me like nobody has ever focused me before, and was just a great coach in terms of, you're doing this, I need you to be doing that, you know, and it totally shifted things for me from kind of this chaos of labor that we brought upon ourselves because we didn't have the midwife there yet to, okay, like, we're doing this, this is organized, I know what I'm doing, she's kind of coaching me through the do's and the don'ts, and literally he was here like 10 minutes later. I mean, I think Jimin showed up at like 9:20 and Max was born at 9:50. It was like, It was like no time. So it was just amazing because, again, kudos to Jimin. And again, I think that this is where that trust factor comes in. I mean, she knew us, she knew me, she knew my, you know, kind of my personality and the way that I worked, and she knew exactly how to motivate me and focus me at that time. And so she was incredible. It was great.
Yeah. Quick question.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to know, I'm curious what your mental state, like when you're in labor, I just hear you kind of go to another place. Like you're just in a, like almost a different world or just some other different place. I'm just curious what that was like for you, where you were at, what your mindset was like, or you know what I mean, where you were mentally during this whole laboring thing, especially when it got intense.
Yeah. You know, it is kind of like an out of body almost. You know, you have to go to another place, or I had to go to another place to kind of separate from kind of the physical pain and try and, you know, just mentally get to a place of, you know, I'm doing this and empowerment and it's going to happen. And, you know, just to not focus on the pain, but focus on what felt productive. Like for me, you know, there were elements of labor that felt productive and I was focusing on that. I mean, like I felt him descending and I could feel him moving down the birth canal, and that to me was progress. And so I was focusing on that versus, you know, kind of the pain. But it is, you have to go to another, and people told me that before I was in labor, but I didn't really know what that meant. And you figure it out. It's not, you don't have to prepare for that, really. You don't have to, you know, try and visualize that ahead of time. I don't think, for me, it just, you know, it was a coping mechanism. You just go there. But that's absolutely true.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was impressed with Alyssa. I mean, she did a fantastic job, and, you know, really, I'm like, crap, the bar is set so high now for when I go. But, you know, she did great. And I mean, Jimin got there. She jumped on the bed. She basically checked her. She was like, baby's coming. Like, there's no cervix left. And, you know, Alyssa always jokes. She's like, if she had said at that point that I was, like, 5 centimeters dilated, like, I was going to throw in the towel. Like, because, again, right. We didn't know. And then, you know, probably 10 minutes later, Lachelle shows up, and so she runs upstairs, and, you know, Alyssa was crowning at that point. I think she probably pushed, what, Liz, like 6 times total, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, she pushed the first time, and Jimin had to kind of change up her position. She ended up delivering in sort of the traditional, like, lying down position that you see, or sort of sitting, because he was coming so fast, we actually needed to, like, slow him down a little bit. She didn't want her to squat or anything because he was already coming fast enough. And she sort of centered her on, like, how to push more effectively. And then, you know, she did a couple more. And then Alyssa was like, can this push be the last one? And Jamin was like, I think you need one more. And so then we do the next contraction. And she's like, can this one be the last one? And she's like, if you give me your all, this can be the last one. And, you know, Alyssa, I mean, that was a no-brainer, right? She's like, this is going to be the last one. And sure enough, then Jamin told her to give her hands, and she's like, why? And she's like, because your baby's coming. And
there he was.
And up, it was crazy. And, you know, he went right up on the chest, and he was crying, and it was, it was good.
And I think that, you know, one of the things about home birth E is that, like, you know, it does feel like a blur, but, you know, you're in your own space, and you're, you know, I was in my bed with my sheets and, like, you know, my surroundings, and I had, you know, my wife there and only the people I wanted there, right? I didn't have people coming into the room and, you know, that I didn't know, and I didn't have, like, you know, these monitors going off and beeping, and of course they're checking him to make sure that he's, you know, healthy and heart rate's good and all of this, but, you know, it was just so natural, and it was awesome. In retrospect, I would not have done it any other way. I was a skeptic at first, but it was really an incredible experience, and I think that that probably led to, I'm sure Natasha at some point has joked that, you know, she says that it was a fast labor, and, you know, I always kind of give her a little scowl because, you know, fast for who, right? But it was, I do attribute it to being in that environment as opposed to, you know, having to get in the car and drive to a hospital and, you know, get admitted and get, you know, checked and wait on nurses and doctors and just being in an unfamiliar space. And I think that, you know, it's not for everybody, but for me, it definitely vibed and, you know, I think a big part of why our labor and delivery was so successful. So.
Awesome. We're getting close to an hour, and I don't want to keep you two ladies too long. So two more questions. One, just having been through it now, what advice would you give women choosing this option?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, if you're choosing this option, be proud of your decision. There's so many people in the world that have so much judgment around choices for, you know, labor, delivery, how you're raising your child, you know, whether it's vaccines or breastfeeding or, you know, whatever under the sun, right? There's so much judgment and negativity out there. So I would say, you know, it might not be the most popular option in terms of how to birth. I think it, in the United States, right? Because in the rest of the world, it absolutely is. But be proud of it and own it and, you know, feel empowered that you're doing this and surround yourself with people that are going to build you up and not tear you down because, you know, we came across a lot of naysayers and a lot of people that, you know, told us that we were crazy and told us that we couldn't do it and, you know, were far more focusing on the risk associated with birthing at home versus, you know, the benefit. And so we just had to go to a place where, you know, you just see the mouths moving and you don't really hear the words because there's a lot of that out there. So be prepared for that, but be proud of yourself because it's an awesome decision. It's a great way to have a baby. You know, we're going to have the rest of our babies that way. I wouldn't have it any other way. And just know that there's skeptics out there, but there's skeptics out there, you know, no matter what you decide. And you just, you know, make sure that you go with your gut and you're proud of your decision.
Awesome advice.
Yeah.
Anything for you, Tosh?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I want to echo that. And also, you know, there's just prepare yourself. Like there's stuff to plan for, right? So you've got to get a lot of supplies and there are things that you sort of need to take care of that normally is just done in the hospital. So, you know, like you have to go get a social security card. You know, you have to take them to get the hearing test done. So just things that obviously are minuscule and compared to the experience, but, you know, just to know that there's going to be a little bit more work on your part, even just like prepping the supplies and stuff that you'll need to take care of. And obviously you've got a long time to get it ready, right? People are pregnant for a really long time. so there's lots of time, but just take that into consideration. You know, just mostly afterwards, the things you have to do, like the social security card and the hearing test. And you do need to generally get into a doctor, usually within, our midwives, I think, wanted us there within like 48 hours or so.
Yeah.
So, you know, just that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's awesome.
Nice. So cool. So now baby Maddox is 3 months old, and I know you're not even probably thinking about baby number two yet, but maybe you are. So just curious, what's the plan? Are you, or maybe you don't have to say, but just curious if you're already thinking about when number two is coming.
Oh, you know, we're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. I mean, you know, this is one of the awesome things about, you know, being in a lesbian relationship, right? Aside from, you know, the awesomeness of my wife and the fact that we can, you know, share clothes, is that, you know, I birthed the first baby, she's going to birth the second, and, you know, it's going to be great. So Tasha's done with school in June of 2016, and so our plan is for hopefully her to give birth to our second shortly thereafter, so maybe summer or fall of 2016, and,
nice.
Yeah, so baby number two is knocking on the door. Maddox needs a little brother or sister to keep him entertained.
Awesome. Well, ladies, seriously, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's such an incredible story. I'm so proud of you. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, I've always just thought it's just the most amazing thing a woman can do is birth a baby. And however you birth a baby is amazing. I don't want to diminish any route that anybody chooses to give birth. But to do it at home without drugs is a really, really brave decision. And I just really acknowledge you for making that choice. And I'm so happy how it turned out. It's such a wonderful story. And thank you so much for sharing it with all of us tonight.
Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate being invited on E. And, you know, for those of you out there that, you know, are even the slightest bit questioning or interested or curious, I say go explore it, because, again, I was a skeptic at first, and I wouldn't have done anything differently. It was amazing and an awesome way to bring our son into the world. So,
awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you both so much. Have an amazing week, and I will see you very soon.
Okay, thanks,
Elizabeth.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Wow, what a story. So thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoy that. Hopefully it opens up some ideas for you, another option that you might not have considered. It is definitely a cool one. And like I said at the beginning, it's not for everyone, but it's, I think it's worth looking into. There's a new trend, and it's picking up some steam, which is really awesome. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you like the show, I would love a review on iTunes. The reviews help to improve search results. So help me reach other lesbians looking for information like this by giving me a rating and review on iTunes. It would be awesome. That's it. We'll catch you next week. Have an amazing rest of your week.